get yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yes, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now. Walk the streets a screaming now.
Greetings, all you 99%ers. This is Dr. Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions, your host. Today we're going to talk about the collapse of the retirement system in America that's occurring right under our noses. We hear a lot about the general economy, but folks aren't really talking too much about what's happening with regard to retirement. You know, there are four great economic crises in America that are continuing, some getting worse at different rates than others, but no real resolution. One, of course, is the jobs crisis. We still have 23 million people unemployed in this country. You can't get a recovery of the economy with that many people without incomes. And at the same time, wage incomes for the median families are continuing to decline over 10% in the last decade and now 1% to 2% per year. How in the heck can you get consumption going and get the economy recovering, consumption being 70% of the economy, when people are just buying on credit cards? Or, of course, if you're the wealthiest 10%, things aren't so bad. But for the rest of the folks, falling incomes, income inequality getting worse, and jobs aren't really getting any better. President Obama talks about creating 4 million jobs. Well, here's a fact for you to consider. 60% of the jobs we lost since 2007 when the Great Recession began were high-paying jobs, 60%. 58% of the jobs we've recovered since then are, guess what, the lowest-paying jobs. Yeah, we're churning out high-paying jobs for low-paying jobs. We're also churning out full-time jobs for part-time jobs. We've created 7 million involuntary part-time jobs, of course, at half pay, since the recession and the recovery. Yes, so we're recovering low-pay part-time jobs and temp jobs, and we're still shedding full-time high-pay jobs. Well, no wonder. Another cause why we're not getting consumption recovery going on here. Well, that's the first crisis. Not getting any worse, but not getting any better. We're bumping along the bottom, just as I predicted in my 2010 book called Epic Recession, Prelude to Global Depression. I predicted we'd bounce along the bottom, sometimes a little bit of recovery, and then we would lapse back in again to near zero growth. That already happened in 2011, and we're headed for it again. Perhaps even 2013 here, if Congress cuts spending for the rest of us while it cuts corporate taxes for the big boys, yeah, we'll have another dip here this year. Everyone thinks, oh, wow, gee, we're recovering. No, not so. You know, take a look at the numbers for GDP, gross domestic product, that were just issued today. GDP contracted in the fourth quarter of last year. 0.1%, but it was negative. I've been predicting that all along. And, you know, why did it contract? Because the government concentrated all its federal spending in the third quarter and gave us a nice big boost. Third quarter growth, almost 3%, just before the election. Oh, the politicians making themselves look good. And, of course, moving all the growth into the third quarter reports meant that the fourth quarter collapsed here. Well, we'll be talking more about the economy in future sessions. But jobs crisis, still the big number one crisis. But, you know, it's not the only one. We have a tax system crisis in America. Bush tax cuts in the last 12 years, $3.4 trillion, $2 trillion of which went to the wealthiest households. And then we gave them another $1.5 trillion of tax cuts during Bush and Obama during the recession here. And yeah, we got this deal January 2nd where we raised taxes on the wealthy by a measly $60 billion a year. And we made all the other tax cuts permanent for them. Boy, they liked that. Right? All the other tax cuts. And we reduced the estate tax even further. And the alternative minimum tax. And we let the loopholes continue. And there's a big corporate tax cut coming later this year I've been warning about, which they'll get even money back again. They're just moving the money around for the rich here. And they're continuing this tax system crisis. And then we have a banking crisis. Well, wasn't that resolved 3 years ago? Nope. Look, Citigroup and Bank of America are still technically bankrupt. Still so. And the Federal Reserve, the central bank in the United States, continues to pump trillions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars every month into the banks to keep them afloat. So far, well over $3 trillion of free money. Yes, the banks can go to the Fed and get zero interest money. And then if they leave it with the Fed will pay them interest. So the Fed is paying them money to take free money. Wouldn't it be nice to buy a car that way? Yes, watch out. The banking system is not fully recovered, especially on a global basis when you look at Europe. And now things begin to look a little funny over there in China. Okay, so those are the three crises. What about the fourth crisis? The retirement system in collapse here. Very important development. Now, what is the retirement system? It's Social Security, Medicare, 401k plans, defined benefit pension plans, real pension plans, real benefit plans, okay. Medicare, as I said, personal savings, and retiree health benefits. We got six elements here that constitute the retirement system in America that affects over 70 million people. 70 million people are impacted by what happens to retirement incomes, and you know what? They're collapsing. They're collapsing in terms of private pensions, defined benefits, and 401ks, and they're collapsing in terms of the personal savings. And now, the third leg of this stool, it was called the retirement stool. You know, this retirement system was set up in the late 40s, early 50s, and it was supposed to be one-third of your income for retirement was to come from your personal savings, one-third was supposed to come from your defined benefit pensions, real pensions, not 401k phony pensions, and one-third was supposed to come from Social Security. And that's how the retirement system was supposed to look. And you know what? The first two are broken. The first two legs of this three-legged stool are already broken. Defined benefit pensions and 401ks are collapsing in value, not providing anywhere near the retirement people need. Personal savings, as people's real incomes, are collapsing in the last 12 years, as the figures I gave you previously, 12%, 1% to 2% per year. Folks are having to go into their personal savings just to continue paying their bills. Withdrawals from 401ks and pension plans, two-thirds almost of it, just going to pay daily bills. So personal savings rates are down to like 3%. They were like zero a few years ago. So those two, private pensions and personal savings, two legs of the stool, are already broken and getting worse. And now, Congress is going after Social Security and Medicare. You know, we're supposed to have, on March 1st, a deadline here for negotiating in Congress this $1.2 trillion of second cuts that are supposed to occur. They call it the sequestered cuts that they had agreed upon back in August of 2011. You know, they cut $1 trillion then, and then they said, okay, $1.2 trillion more across the board, 10%, will occur in January 2013. And of course, we know they kicked that can down the road for 2 months until March 1st. So March 1st is a big deadline date coming up. $1.2 trillion more in cutting. Half of that is supposed to be defense cuts, and the other half, other kinds of cuts. But you know what? I've been predicting all along, it won't be one half defense cuts. In fact, there's an article in the paper today, Lockheed, Boeing, Raytheon, all these defense companies, they're all pretty happy. Yeah, they don't expect the cuts to happen to them, which means more is going to happen to everybody else. Yeah, they'll cut, but it won't be defense spending. It'll be other forms of spending. Watch it in March. And then we have another deadline date, March 27th, when the government runs out of money. And then we have another one, May 18th, when the debt ceiling comes up. You know, people wonder why the T-publicans, the radicals in the House, you know, the Ryans and the Cantors and all those guys, agreed to put the debt ceiling off to May 18th. And that's because they already got two cliffs. They don't need three. They're just stretching out these fiscal cliffs where they push the economy and the government to brinksmanship. The first one is March 1st. The next one is March 27th. Then May 18th. They're going to get three bites at the apple. And each one, they're going to chip away at even more cuts. Watch it, as I predict. And then later in the year, watch the big one. The big one is going to be corporate tax cuts from 35 to 28%. That's coming. I predicted that that's coming. Watch it. The corporations are going to get a big, juicy juicy cut here, or juicy opportunity for making even more money out of tax cuts. Okay, back to retirement. Back to retirement. Okay, every week I have to give everyone an update on what's happening with this fiscal cliff deficit cutting, and that was just it. Right? All right, so let's talk today about this fourth crisis, the retirement crisis. Once again, six dimensions: defined benefit pensions, 401ks, retiree health benefits, personal savings rates, Social Security, and Medicare. 70 million people involved here. And that's not even counting folks that aren't retired and that have 401ks. We'll talk about 401ks. All right. First thing we can say, defined benefit pensions. What can we say about that? What are defined benefit pensions, first of all? Well, these are real pensions. Everyone used to have a real pension. What is that? That's a pension where you retire, and the company has to pay you a certain amount per month, per year of service, like $50 a month per year that you worked with the company. If you worked with the company 30 years, $50 a month, that's $1,500. And they have to pay you that every year as long as you live. Every month, every year, as long as you live. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Defined benefit pension. Real pensions. Okay, we used to have 180,000 of these back in the 1980s. We only have 20,000 left. Well, what the heck happened to them? Well, Ronald Reagan came along, and Ronald Reagan established what were called 401k plans. 401k comes from Section 401k of the Internal Revenue Service Code. And 401k simply means it's called the private pension plan. You know, the company puts so much money into your private plan, the matching, you put so much. Right. And then it's up to you to do what you want with that plan, invest it how you want it. And everyone was saying, well, shouldn't you have control of your pension money? Well, the problem is most folks don't know how to invest it, and then they invest it in the stock market and they lose it all. Anyway, 401ks were considered the substitute for defined benefit pensions. Why did the companies like 401ks? Because there's no guaranteed payment they have to make every month for the rest of your life. They put in so much and they say, tough, that's it, go with it. And that was supposed to replace defined benefit pensions. And from Reagan on, what did they do? Well, they started hacking away at defined benefit pensions. Reagan allowed managements to go and skim off the top to steal from the pension funds whatever they wanted. And that's what happened in the 1980s. And companies were using it to buy junk bonds, and speculators and raiders were going after companies and breaking them up in order to get at the pension fund. And tens of thousands of pension funds collapsed during that time, defined benefit funds. And companies say, well, okay, this is the end of the defined benefit plan. Here's a 401k. I'll throw a few pennies in. You know, you're responsible for your own retirement here. My liability as a company is no longer applicable. So under Reagan, we had a big collapse of defined benefits. But you know what? We had other problems under Clinton. This isn't a Republican thing. This is a both-party thing. What happened under Clinton? Well, Clinton allowed pension fund managers to fake the condition of their pension funds by manipulating what's called actuarial assumptions. Pension fund managers were able to hide the fact that the pension funds weren't doing so good during the 90s. Okay, why weren't they doing so good during the 90s? Because under Clinton, pension funds were allowed not to make contributions into the funds. They called those contribution holidays throughout the 90s. And then with health care costs rising, under Clinton, pension fund managers were allowed to drag 20% off the pension fund to pay for health care costs, management share health care costs. So under Clinton, we made it worse. And then George Bush comes along, and he makes it even worse than that. But let's take a little break here, and we'll come back and talk about how George Bush and Obama continued to gut defined benefit pension plans. One-sixth of our total retirement system. Jack Rasmus, the show's Alternative Visions. We're talking about the collapse of the retirement system and its six dimensions going on right under our noses today. And this collapse will be a big factor in preventing income growth and economic recovery. Okay, so let's go back to this story of how we got from 180,000 defined benefit pensions, real pensions, to 20,000 today. How did this collapse occur? Well, we talked about, just to recap, under Reagan, Reagan allowed companies to go and steal the money and do whatever they wanted with it. And under Clinton, we had the manipulation of actuarial assumptions and contribution holidays and dragging money for health care costs for management. And then under Bush, we got the continuation of these contribution holidays and the continuation of actuarial manipulation. But in addition to that, we got a green light for the pension funds to go speculate with the pension money. What does that mean? That means investing in risky financial assets, you know, like the dot-com stocks and subprime mortgages, give the money to hedge funds and private equity funds, and they, of course, lose it. And then the money that was already there in the pension fund is largely gone. And you know what? we have another problem. And then under Bush, we had, okay, green light to convert defined benefit pensions to what's called cash balance plans, and to use the new bankruptcy laws, like the airlines and steel companies did, to dump their pension plans onto the government agencies, and workers got half of what they would have gotten as a result. So, you know, there's no real attempt here to prevent the collapse of defined benefit pensions. In fact, they want them to collapse. So folks are pushed into 401k plans. We'll talk about those 401ks shortly, too. And then under Obama, what did we get? Well, we get a collapse of jobs and a very, very slow recovery in jobs. As I mentioned before, we still got 23 million unemployed. Well, that means folks not putting money in pension plans and management not matching them. And even where people did not lose their jobs, companies like IBM and others suspended their contributions. And now they got some deals going here where they're going to make even less contributions going forward. Talk about those. So, you know, lack of job growth under Obama is the problem. Another problem, we should say. And then we have just the theft of pension funds by companies. Like the Hostess company that went bankrupt. Well, it spent all the pension funds first. Now there's no pensions for the employees. And we have continued speculation going on. All these things add up over time to a collapse of defined benefit pensions that we're talking about here. Some dangerous trends. Okay, on the public side, now there's a big attack on public employee defined benefit pensions, the last bastion of DBPs, as we call them. Okay, in other words, the workers are being, public employees are being blamed for the fiscal crisis, and that's not true. Yes, there's pension funding liabilities, but guess what and why? Because states and cities have also speculated and with the pension funds and lost their shirts. At the same time, we've laid off 700,000 public workers, so the money is not going in terms of contributions. And yet we blame them for the crisis in state and local government funding, even though they didn't create it. And then there's the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve lowers interest rates to zero, and that means pension fund managers have to lower their projections for pension funds going out 10, 20 years, and it makes it look like there's going to be huge losses in pension funds because of the interest rate assumption that they have to use with zero interest rates going on with the Federal Reserve. Well, those are phony projections, phony, on paper only. These huge projected losses that, you know, governors like Chris Christie over there in New Jersey that are making, they're on paper. They're not really true. But that's a good way of blaming public employees for the state fiscal crisis, right? And the problem with the state fiscal crisis is we just don't have a real economic recovery. 60% of the problems of the deficits are lack of tax revenue. Of course, we've been cutting taxes at the same time. We aren't generating tax revenue because we don't have jobs. Yeah, we're cutting taxes at the same time. In fact, the states are in a race to the bottom. How fast can they cut corporate taxes? And then, of course, they have big deficits, but they turn around and they blame their employees for it. That's what's going on here. Some other dangerous trends with defined benefit pensions. Talk about rolling the state pension plans into Social Security. They're raising retirement ages on the public sector. They're reducing cost of living. New workers who come into the public sector and private companies can't even sign up for real pensions. They can only sign up for the 401ks. And then we've got this new trend on pension plans. Companies are simply selling off parts of their pension plans to insurance companies called annuity settlements. Going to undermine it even further. Okay, that's the picture with defined benefit pensions. That one leg of that three-legged stool is almost gone, and it's getting worse. Big companies in particular, IBM, AT&T, Verizon, they're all dumping parts of their pensions into annuity settlements, giving it to insurance companies, who then charge big fees. Okay. $100 billion of pension is supposed to be siphoned off this way and given to private insurance companies. You know, it wouldn't take much to solve the pension crisis, you know. Well, stop speculative lending. Stop and change the bankruptcy law so they couldn't dump their pensions. Outlaw annuity settlements and cash balance plans. Right? And give a bridge loan to those pension funds that are in trouble. $500 billion bridge loan. After all, we gave other financial institutions $13 trillion. Why can't we give a temporary loan to those pension funds in public sector in trouble for a few years of $500 billion? And then, of course, the Federal Reserve has to stop these zero interest rates. Okay, so what's happened to 401ks? 60 million workers are subject to 401ks. 401ks are collapsing, too. All right, 401ks, if you look at the average balance, how much do people have in a 401k? If they're 55 to 60 years old, when they should have accumulated the most over their lifetimes. How much do they have in 401ks? Only $45,000. How are you going to retire on $45,000, folks? Hmm? I mean, that could be gone in 1 or 2 years, 3 years if you're really frugal. You retire at 65 and you got 3 years, then you're absolutely broke. Oh, you got Social Security, right? Well, you know what the average payment in Social Security is? $1,100 a month. How are people going to survive? Most of us. The 115 million people who aren't supervisors and managers in this country. How are they going to survive on that paltry 401k balance and on, you know, not overly generous Social Security? And, of course, as we're going to see, they're about to cut Social Security even more. Okay? Well, what happened to the collapse of 401ks? Because, remember, these contributions go into the stock market oftentimes. Either the company invested in the stock market or employees do, and they don't know what they're doing, and they lose it. Over the last decade, $4 trillion in 401k values have collapsed. $4 trillion. People are so stressed with falling real incomes that they're taking more and more out of the 401ks. In 2004, they withdrew $35 billion. In 2010, $60 billion. One in four households is withdrawing money from their 401k plans, and the majority of the money withdrawn is to pay everyday bills. Everyday bills. You know, we should stop this conversion of defined benefit plans into 401ks, because 401ks are not the solution. They are collapsing along with defined benefit pensions. And we should nationalize all these 401ks. What does that mean? Take it out of the company's hands, put it in a new box in Social Security Trust Fund, let's call it Part E, right? And make all companies pay a 1% value-added tax, business-to-business value-added tax, as a required contribution into this national 401k plan. Okay, that's a solution. Well, what about the second stool here, leg of this stool, personal savings? You know, we were supposed to save as much money that we get from our defined benefit pensions and from Social Security. They're supposed to be equal, one-third each. Well, in the 1970s, American households used to save 15% of their income because they were getting wage increases then. What are they saving now? 3%. Barely 3%. Okay. What's happening? Why is the savings rate so low? Well, for the same reason folks are dragging money out of their 401ks to pay their bills, they don't have a wage growth going on. And they have more debt to pay. You know, we're loading up on debt. Average household, median household, about 100, debt is 150% of their disposable income every year. What kind of debt? Credit card debt, student debt, mortgage debt, other forms of installment debt. That's how we kept up our standard of living for 20 years. We kept borrowing because we weren't getting wage increases or because our jobs were being cut into part-time jobs and temp jobs instead of full-time jobs, or our high-paying jobs, union jobs, were being wiped out and sent offshore, and we were left with low-paying jobs when we create jobs. And inflation is accelerating faster than the Consumer Price Index indicates. We all know that. Healthcare costs, education costs, gas, food, and now rents are going through the roof. So our real income has been collapsing, not growing, and inflation eating up a bigger part of it. And no wage recovery. No wage recovery for 30 years. Do you know that the average weekly earnings of a non-supervisory employee in the U.S., adjusted for inflation, is lower today than it was in 1982? 30 years, no growth. Well, no wonder we're spending so much on credit cards and refinancings and so forth. It's the only way to, you know, keep the family income going. Okay. That's the situation with the savings, right? That's collapsing, along with 401ks, for the reasons indicated, and along with defined benefit pension plans, the two stools are absolutely broken and getting worse. And that leaves the only third stool, which is Social Security and Medicare. And we'll talk about that when we come back from another break. This is Jack Rasmus. The show is Alternative Visions, the collapse of retirement system in America. This is your host, Jack Rasmus, the show Alternative Visions. Today we're talking about the collapse, the imminent and accelerating collapse of the retirement system in America. And we talked about, so far, the problems in defined pension, the benefit pensions, and why they are collapsing. And then we talked about 401k plans and why they are collapsing. Okay, and defined benefits, of course, why are they collapsing? Well, because that's the policy, to get rid of them, the government. Ever since Ronald Reagan, through all the presidential regimes here, they don't want defined benefit pension plans anymore. They want to privatize them. They want to turn them into 401k plans, which is supposed to be the solution, but is also a big problem since it, too, is collapsing. What are the solutions to 401ks, and what are the solutions to defined benefit plans? Well, as we said, you can solve these problems very easily. Temporary bridge loans and speculative lending, which has really gutted these things, prevent them from playing games, pension fund managers with actuarial assumptions, change the bankruptcy laws, prevent cash balance plans and annuity settlements, et cetera, for defined benefits and for 401ks. Nationalize it because it's a dead end as it is now, and make the companies pay 1% value-added tax into this fund. Make it part of Social Security. You know, maybe the government could even take the fund and invest it with a rate of return in alternative energies and so forth. There's a lot you could do to solve these things. It's not rocket science here. You know, I throw a lot of facts and figures out at everybody, but that's just my style. I'm tired of listening to people just express their opinions and don't support it with any facts. And I'm really tired of people who just talk about the problem and don't offer solutions. You know, that's why Alternative Visions is a different kind of show. We don't just talk about the problem, we talk about solutions. Okay, and we try to back it up with facts. Not just opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. That's not the solution, to have an opinion. Okay, so we talked about the collapse of personal savings, which is really about the lack of wage growth and the lack of job growth, and loading up folks with debt, credit and debt, in lieu of wage and job growth. But let's talk about the third stool here, third leg of the stool, Social Security, Medicare. With the other two legs broken, you know, Social Security, Medicare, we're actually trying to saw off that last leg as well for the last couple of years. You know, we're really going after Social Security and Medicare, trying to cut it when it's the only thing left. How many people are getting Social Security? Almost 50 million. That's monthly retirement benefits, plus another 8 million people on Social Security disability. And don't forget, these folks have dependents, too, some of them. So, you know, we're talking maybe 60 million people here affected by Social Security. And that's a big block of folks spending money, and they spend most of it. By the way, Social Security is not going broke, nor is it about to go broke, contrary to what people like Paul Ryan and Cantor and Campbell and all the other radicals in the House Tea Party say. It's not going broke. In fact, listen to this. The fact is, Social Security has created a $2.7 trillion surplus for the federal government since 1986, $2.7 trillion of surplus. Yeah. Oh. Well, what's happened to the surplus? Well, the government has borrowed it and put treasury bonds in its place in the Social Security Trust Fund. Well, what did the government do with that $2.7 trillion? Well, you know what they did? They cut tax cuts on the rich. And they waged wars now for over a decade without paying for them. Yeah. They borrowed the money. And they borrowed it from Social Security, they borrowed it from the Chinese, and they borrowed it from everybody around the world. We don't discriminate. We borrow money from everybody, we, the government, around the world, to finance their deficits, which, by the way, exist because of the tax cuts for the rich and the war spending, two of the biggest causes. Just check out my blog, jackrasmus.com. There's an article there called The Eight Real Causes of Deficits and the Debt. It's also in my book, Obama's Economy, Recovery for the Few, in Chapter 7, which is also on my website. Just Google me. It's Kyklos Productions, kyklosproductions.com. All my TV and radio interviews are there, and all my longer articles, including Chapter 7 of my book, which is called Deficit Cutting on the Road to Double Dip Recession. And in it is that table that shows the eight real causes of deficits and the debt. That article, again, on my website, Chapter 7 of my book. Also, that table is in a piece I put on my blog, jackrasmus.com. If you look at the facts, what's caused the run-up of $10 trillion in the federal debt over the last decade. $3.4 trillion Bush tax cuts, most of 80% of which go to the rich. $2.1 trillion excess war spending. Excess, in other words, inflationary war spending. If defense spending, Pentagon spending, only increased 2% per year, the same as the Consumer Price Index, instead of the 8.2% per year compounded, we would have saved $2.1 trillion. So $5.5 trillion of the $10 trillion run up in the debt is tax cuts for the rich and war spending. What's the rest? Well, runaway health care costs. We created a prescription drug plan in 2005 called Part D, where we allow the drug companies to charge whatever they want. No one can negotiate with them, not even the states. They charge whatever they want, and that's cost us $500 billion. And we didn't raise any taxes to pay for it. Oh, it's all out of deficit, therefore debt. Healthcare costs for hospital and Medicare and Medicaid impacts the government spending as well, another $500 billion. $2 trillion in bailouts. Another $1.5 trillion in tax cuts and a lack of job growth and interest on the debt. And there's your $10 trillion. If you notice, I didn't say anything about Social Security, did I? Because it's contributed to the surplus. There's nothing in Social Security that's contributed to this deficit and debt. So why are we targeting Social Security and Medicare? Because they don't want to raise their taxes on the rich. That's why. You know, we raise taxes on the rich a paltry $60 billion here at the beginning of the month. And actually, it's only about $30 billion because they're not telling you about the other tax cuts in that deal. $30 billion. And we gave them $3 trillion. Well, it's all about the tax cuts, stupid. And it's about the rich and corporate tax cuts. To protect the tax cuts and reduce the deficit and the debt, they got to attack Social Security and Medicare. And all the other forms of spending as well. And that's what it's all about. It's their tax cuts versus our Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and education and so forth. That's what the fight's all about. Hey, last week, 150 of the biggest CEOs, corporate CEOs, who belong to what's called the Business Roundtable, the number one largest, most powerful business lobbying group, Business Roundtable, only CEOs of the top companies, the biggies, came out with a report. And what did they recommend raising the retirement age and the Medicare eligibility age to 70 years. They want to raise it from 65 and 66 to 70. They want to reduce the cost of living adjustment. They want to introduce a means test. They want to go to vouchers for Medicare after 10 years. Oh, that's Paul Ryan's. That's the radical Teapublicans. Well, gee, that sounds like a really Teapublican proposal, doesn't it? Yes, it is. You see, I've been predicting all along that the corporate CEOs behind the scenes are really driving all this deficit fiscal cliff stuff. I've been writing about that on my blog since November. At first, I said they blocked with Obama to get some kind of token tax cut deal, and now they're blocking with Paul Ryan and the radical Teapublicans to cut Social Security, Medicare. Obama is in agreement with cutting Social Security and Medicare, by the way. You know, in December, he proposed $340 billion cuts in Social Security and Medicare. And in 2011, as part of an attempt at a grand bargain, he wanted to cut $700 billion, raise the age to 69, increase COLA, cost of living adjustments. So, as he said after the January 2nd tax deal, quote, Medicare is the main cause of the deficits, unquote. That's a direct quote from President Obama, January 2nd, 2013. He is in agreement that Medicare is in the crosshairs. Now, will this be cutting Medicare benefits? No, I'll tell you how they're going to do it. They're going to raise your out-of-pocket costs. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make you pay more for Part A, Part B, Part D. And you're going to pay for it because they're going to then take it out of your Social Security check. So your Social Security check is going to go down to pay for the cost of Medicare. Ah, even less money to spend, folks. It's coming. All right. Social Security, right, is not broke, not about to be broke, had a $2.7 trillion surplus. Okay, it's not there. They spent it. They put bonds, and they say, oh, you know, we can always pay ourselves back. Yeah, we can go and sell more bonds and put cash back in there. But, you know, if we don't do anything for 20 years, Social Security continues to pay the same amount. There's no problem for 20 years. And then you can go even to 2075 and with only minimal cuts to Social Security if you don't do anything. But as we're going to see, doing something about Social Security and Medicare is very simple and not very costly, even if you want to do something. But let's take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about some solutions to Social Security and Medicare that you'd be surprised how minimal they are. And you learn to make do. You take the old. You make it new. If I had me a gun, I'd find the bastards and shoot them on sight. I'm a jack of all trades. We'll be alright. I'm a jack of all trades. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. We're talking now about Social Security and Medicare, the third retirement stool that is under extreme attack, after the other two have already collapsed, and has great import to everybody in this country and to any hope of economic recovery. Okay, we're talking about Social Security, created $2.7 trillion surplus. For 20 years, if we do nothing, nothing needs to be done. Right, Social Security benefits, you know, we don't need to cut the COLA. We don't need to raise the average wage, you know, to 69 or 70. We don't need to do these things for 20 years. Okay, after 20 years, the surplus will be gone. And then we may have to make, some cuts is the question. So people project out from 2033 to the end of the century and say, oh, all these trillions of dollars we're going to need and so forth. Well, you can solve even the rest of the century with a few very minor adjustments to Social Security and to Medicare. Medicare is a little stressed a little bit more. Well, what's stressing it, first of all, both of it, it's not an immediate problem for 20 years, but what's stressing it beyond 20 years is the fact that we don't have job growth and high wage growth because people put in 6.2% of, and companies match it, you know. So if people aren't working, if you've got 25 million not working and their wages aren't growing, well, that means there's less going in. And then, of course, if President Obama cuts the payroll tax for Social Security, that's even less going, $100 billion less a year. So we're creating these long-term problems that aren't really original because we don't have job and income growth, and we keep playing around with the payroll tax. Okay, so how can we solve this 21 through 100-year issue? Very simple. You don't have to raise the eligibility age. You don't have to cut COLAs. Right now you have a what's called a cap, $110,000 a year. Folks who make more than $110,000 a year stop paying into Social Security, stop paying the 6.2%. Because everybody making less, that pays the full amount. So why don't we just raise the cap from $110,000 a year to $170,000 a year? Well, that will solve 86% of all the needs from 2034 to 2100. Okay? Solve all your problems. Just raise the cap. Now, if you then add a quarter of 1% of an increase, a quarter of 1% in the payroll tax every 5 years for the next 20 years, just a quarter. So we're talking about a 1% increase over the next 20 years, you will raise another 100% funding need or funding requirement. So just raising the cap and a quarter percent will double the amount of money you need to cover everybody. In other words, you'll be able to lower the retirement age to 64 so that new folks, younger folks, can get jobs. Old folks ought to retire. Get out of there. Let the young folks get the jobs. Oh. But, of course, you've got to have a reasonable retirement. Well, these two simple measures will create enough money where you could lower the retirement age. And then if we said, okay, you know, it's not just wage incomes that should be taxed, but how about all these people making dividends and interest rates and carried interest, you know, and royalties and all this kind of stuff that's not subject to the payroll tax, make them pay a payroll tax. And you know what? If you did that, you could not only lower the retirement age to 64, but double the amount of money that people now get from Social Security, two-thirds. Instead of one-third, it would be, you could raise it to two-thirds. And all it takes are three moves, three things. Raise the cap, quarter percent interest, make the rich folks pay, and you solve all your Social Security issues, and you lowered the retirement age, and you doubled the amount of money you'd get in retirement. Why aren't people talking about these things? Well, because the politicians don't want to talk about these things. All right, what about Medicare? What about Medicare? Let me finish with this. Okay, we got a problem in Medicare because we got runaway health care costs, and Obamacare does not address runaway health care costs. Health care insurance premiums are now, across the country, going up 20%. 20% on average. So Obamacare is not solving the problem whatsoever, and it will collapse within 10 years because not because of other things that are wrong with it, but because it doesn't stop the health costs, runaway health care costs. That's the problem. We're not funding Part D prescription drugs. It's making Part B and doctors much more expensive. Okay. And what do the corporations and Obama want to do? They want to raise the retirement, the eligibility age for Medicare to 80, 70 years. They want to race it to 70 years. They want to fully privatize it after 10 years. They want to cut payments to doctors, so doctors drop out of Medicare. We have a two-tier system. Right? They're going to cut Medicare. Watch it. They'll backload the cuts, and the cuts will be raised payment costs out of pocket. They're not going to cut the coverage. They're going to raise the payment. Now, what does it take to solve Medicare? To cover all the rising anticipated costs in Medicare? Well, I'll tell you. And it's not my idea. It comes from the Social Security Trustees report of 2011. Not my idea. What did they say? All we have to do is raise this paltry payroll tax for Medicare, which is 1.45%. You know, we cover tens of millions of people with a 1.45%. It shows you what Medicare, how efficient Medicare is. We should be saying Medicare for all. That's the solution to all our health care problems. But, okay, so what does it take? The trustees in 2011 said, raise the tax of Medicare from 1.45 to 1.7% once, starting now, and then once more 10 years from now. In other words, a half of a percent increase in the Medicare payroll tax, and you solved all your Medicare problems. Think about it. You know, 1% in the payroll tax for Medicare, 1% in Social Security, and raise the cap and make wealthy folks on capital incomes pay, and you've solved all of your retirement, Social Security retirement, all of your Medicare problems until 2100. That's all it takes. And yet, what are we saying? Let's gut the income of 70 million people on Medicare, Social Security, retirement folks. Let's make them pay for the crisis and the deficits that are caused by the bankers, that are caused by the wars, that are caused by the tax cuts for the rich. That's the bottom line, folks. Okay, talk to you next week. More exciting guests next week on The Economy. Jack Rasmussen, Alternative Visions.